You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This is Memorial Day, May 30th, 2022. God bless the USA and the men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice for the freedom you enjoy today. The time you have with your family. Barbecue. Have fun. I'll remind you at 3 o'clock, wherever you're listening, whatever time zone you're in, at 3 o'clock today, there's a call for a moment of silence. Just take time, even at your grilling, your event, to take a moment of silence at 3 o'clock, whatever time zone you're in, and pause and actually honor and think about the sacrifice paid for this country. I'm always, always struck by the fact that when I go somewhere and I look around and I see various families enjoying things at a theater, a restaurant, a park, and I see other benches, tables, swings empty, and I'm thinking, could there be a family that should have been there? But someone who went off on a mission for our country did not return, so they had no family, and a generation never was. That has always struck me about war, not just the casualty that happens then, but down the line. A brother loses another brother. That brother has no family. A family loses a young woman in war, and she never comes back and has a family. And, of course, we're talking about in war zones. Lately, of course, it looks like the country is in a war zone, especially with the Uvalde shooting. Throughout today's program, we're going to take time to honor the various branches of the military with their theme songs and mark again Memorial Day. I want to focus on Memorial Day, but we cannot ignore what's happening right in front of us, and that is Uvalde, Texas, and the call for more gun control laws. Now, when you call for sensible gun controls, the difficulty that often surfaces is that some people, what they consider sensible is take away all guns. Another sensible is that you're limited to one gun and six bullets. And others want to go way the other way and say there should be no restrictions on guns. I'm not in favor of either of those extremes. We have laws on the books that many times in some of these shootings have not been enforced. Folks had a mental case, a mental illness. It should have been reported. It wasn't, and they were allowed to buy a weapon. They shouldn't have. Or there's a problem inside a house with someone who they know is mentally unstable, and they have access to guns already in the house. They're not going to be buying it, but they're going to be taking it. And then, of course, we have the basic criminal element. But law-abiding citizens and gun owners, if they're going to be responsible, are going to make sure the guns are properly protected from children reaching them by accident and or anyone else getting them that should not have access. And I said something the other day that I know upset a lot of folks that are NRA members and NRA supporters. And I'm going to repeat it again today. And you still may not like it, but I hope you have thought through what I said the other day. We don't want more school shootings, but it's not just gun control. It also gets into fortifying the schools. And one of my guests today is one of those that helps prepare schools, churches, to deal with a sniper, a gunman coming into the classroom. Our church, Mark Warren, with Strategos International. They've trained for schools, churches across the nation. A lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right. Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, 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 bass.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Once again, reminding you, this is Memorial Day, and we are, throughout this program today, going to remind you of that constantly and remind you that at 3 o'clock today, you should take a moment of silence, 3 o'clock, wherever you are listening or watching, because that is what we want to do at 3 o'clock, take at least a moment of silence and all your festivities, the things you're allowed to do now in our country. Because of the ultimate sacrifice paid by young men and women on a mission for their country, and they didn't come home except in a flag-draped coffin. We are streaming live at rumble.com. We are streaming live at rumble.com. So you can go to rumble.com, the search engine, enter Larry Connors USA, and it will take you right to the studio. Unfortunately, we still are having tech issues with our website of KXEN1010AM.com. And so those who normally rely on that, if they can't get the signal because they're not in the immediate area, they're not going to be able to hear the program at all. But if they do go to rumble.com, they're going to be able to see it. And I know many have been watching more and more often Rumble.com, so hopefully we're reaching those folks as well. I'll remind all of you, though, And you should also pass on to any of your friends that are outside the area who cannot hear the program directly. Everything does go up as a podcast after we go off the air. Usually Mike or Mark have it up by 5 o'clock in the afternoon at the latest, if not much sooner. Right, Mike? Usually by that time. So every podcast, or rather every program we do air, is placed on a podcast. It'll be available at LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. Now back to the situation at hand, and that is, of course, Uvalde continues to capture the nation's concern, attention, tears, and prayers. The funerals are starting. The funerals are starting. The Uvalde Elementary School, Robb Elementary, left 19 children, two teachers are dead. It is the worst shooting of children in a mass shooting since Sandy Hook in Connecticut, 2012, and 20 kids were killed, six adults. And, of course, we also had the Vegas shooting, if you recall, in 2017, that December, the 61-year-old firing from the Mandalay Hotel, killing 61. Well, of course, all of this means, again, we're going to have questions raised about gun laws. I want to remind you of something, regardless of your stance on guns, be you for them or against them, and you think gun laws will solve everything, or you know they won't solve anything, let me give you a simple fact, a very simple fact. You can, if you dare, try this yourself. Maybe if you're not familiar with weapons, do not load it. But if a pistol is on the desk in front of you and no one touches it, no one's going to be killed either by accident or on purpose. The gun does not have the mind to aim and fire at a particular object or person. Then the question gets into is, are we doing a good enough job of checking for those who do have the guns based on mental condition and age? And it may not just be young age. It may also be a much older age you're concerned about. But most of it realistically focuses on the young age. Most of the gun violence in the nation, I stress this, most of the gun violence in the nation is carried out by younger, 18 to 21 to 25. And most of that is carried out by gangsters, thugs, that are shooting each other in their gangs, and they're selling drugs, and they're using guns for protection or taking on a rival or whatever. It's gang violence. That does not mean the others don't happen, either by accident and our own purpose. So there's a reason, obviously, to look at this, but sometimes in when you're wrapped in grief and the tears just won't stop falling, you're not going to make a rational decision. There's no sense asking someone who's lost their child, are you in favor of taking away all the guns because a gun killed your child. The rational person would say, and I say this in the sense that I have not lost a child in this way, so you can say, well, Larry, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to agree with you there, and I pray I never do, with my child or a grandchild. But just because someone takes a gun and kills either a member of my family or someone else doesn't mean all gun laws have to be set aside, nor does it mean we can just not care about gun laws anymore and just let anybody do anything. The true Wild West, as it were. You know, when they first started allowing concealed carry in the state of Texas, that started because of a shooting that took place at a cafeteria. A man crashed through the cafeteria, a Luby's cafeteria in Texas, pulled out a gun and started shooting. A woman was there with her parents, and she got them down on the floor and then got them out while all the shooting was going on away, and then realized while she had gotten them out, her mom was not with them, and then her dad wasn't. He had gone back in to get her. Or maybe it's the other way around. I don't recall specifically. And then they both ended up being dead. She started pushing that, you know, if someone in there had had a gun, maybe they could have stopped that person. That does not always is not always going to happen. Even a police officer is going to be there. They may not be able to stop it. But you're going to have a better chance if they do. And you're going to have a better chance with a gun in your hand than throwing a salt shaker at them or a chair. So yesterday, President Biden and the First Lady went to Uvalde to offer their condolences. I want to share a report that ran on ABC, and it's going to begin with some shouting. Parents, or those, I should say, gathered around are shouting at the president, and they're shouting, do something, do something. That's how this begins. Please listen.
Tonight, President Biden confronted with a community's mounting frustration in Uvalde, Texas. President responding, we will. And tonight, ABC News obtaining new video showing police breaking windows at the school.
They're getting the kids out.
Officers trying to rescue students from the building. And for the first time, we hear what appears to be dispatch audio sharing with officers that 911 operators are on the phone with students trapped inside those classrooms. Texas law enforcement detailing those chilling calls from children.
She identified herself and whispered, she's in room 112. At 1210, she called back in room 12, advised her multiple are dead. Again at 1216, she called back and said there's 8 to 9 students alive.
Tonight, the Justice Department announcing it will conduct a review of the law enforcement response to the shooting, vowing it will be fair, transparent, and independent.
Fair, transparent, independent. Well, hopefully it will be, because that's the only way you're going to get answers that are going to do any good. If it's going to be biased and slanted, then that's not going to solve anything for anyone. And, of course, the fight to control guns and add more laws is underway already. I want you to hear a question that was posed to Congressman Dan Crenshaw of Texas. And I want to remind you something about Crenshaw and the process. He is a former infantryman. That's why he has a patch over his eye. He had an IED go off near him, and he took heavy shrapnel. So he's been in a war zone. He knows what war is. He knows what war weapons are. But by the grace of God, this Memorial Day, his family could be honoring him because he paid with his life. See, Memorial Day is about those who have died in service to the country. Not for all veterans, not for all that have served, but just those who have died. But he's being asked on CNN, State of the Union, by Dana Bash, a question. But it's really, it's a setup. He knows it. He recognizes it. But I'm going to let her play her game. Here's the question.
The Second Amendment calls for a well-regulated militia. Do you really think the Founding Fathers, when they wrote well-regulated militia, intended for enough guns, weapons of war that you are so highly trained in using, should be used to massacre children?
Weapons to massacre children. You see how that plays into Uvalde, saying that that's all the guns are for, is to massacre children. That is not true. You know that, and I know it. And, of course, so does Congressman Crenshaw. Let's go back to the question and his response.
The Second Amendment calls for a well-regulated militia. Do you really think the Founding Fathers, when they wrote well-regulated militia, intended for enough guns, weapons of war that you are so highly trained in using, should be used to massacre children?
Well, there's more to the Second Amendment than what you just read, right? There's and there's a comma after that. So there's two different ideas in the Second Amendment. There's the individual right to mm-hmm. own a gun, and there's the right of the people to have a well-regulated militia. But let's talk about the weapons of war thing for a second, because you brought that up. So Having been to war and having used many, many weapons of war, I don't really classify these rifles as weapons of war. We use them, but we use them, they're more our self-defense weapon. And I would say that if a SEAL team or an infantry unit goes on offense, they're using much, much bigger weapons that are not available to your common civilian.
But they don't care. They just want to call them weapons of war, an AR-15. You just heard him say, they're not going to use that in war. That's not what we're going to use. And, of course, the difference is the military-style grade weapon is automatic. Can be semi or automatic, but it can be flipped with a switch. Now, bump stocks, which were made illegal, help make a legal semi-automatic more automatic in the sense that it will fire rapidly, but it's still not really automatic. But Congressman Crenshaw, a former Navy SEAL, making it clear, keep in mind what the Second Amendment does, and it provides for your right to own guns, not to have guns to kill children, as Dana Bash was trying to say. I mean, that was her whole point of her question, wasn't it? And weapons of war. Won't slip that in there, too. We come back. I want to give you some more details of Uvalde and something that's happening with Border Patrol agents who were taking place in helping save those children that day and others with Border Patrol. What happened with them? Reference President Biden visiting Uvalde. Stand by, please. There we have the Army caissons go rolling along, the Army theme song again, and on our Memorial Day, reminding you we are not able to live stream at KXEN1010AM.com today, which if you're trying to get it, you already know you can't. Those of you listening by standard radio, I often tell you that you can get a much clearer and better signal if you don't, if you will simply open up that app in your car and play it through the Bluetooth. But we're having tech difficulties. Of course we would on a holiday. But this is Memorial Day. It is a time to honor and mark remembrance for those who paid a sacrifice for our country in combat missions, training missions for our country and the armed services. Coming up in the next segment, I'm going to be joined by a guest, Mark Warren. He's with Strategos International, in training for schools, churches, and businesses in event of a shooter threat. You want to make sure you hear that. Let your friends and neighbors know that's coming up. And I remind you, everything is later going to be put up as a podcast after this program airs. Or you can watch on live stream at rumble.com, search engine, one word, Larry Connors USA. That'll open up the studio for you, and you can join us in studio. Reference the Border Patrol agents I was telling you about, and President Biden being in Uvalde yesterday, paying his respects to those who were killed in the shooting at Robb Elementary. The Biden administration, well, let me put it this way. To begin with, they were law enforcement officers who responded to the shooting, and that included Border Patrol. Got an invitation late last week. They got an invitation to be there. The shooting was Tuesday. They got an invitation late last week, Thursday, Friday, whenever. Many accepted and were scheduled to attend a private address with the president. Then they were informed, you're uninvited. You're no longer invited. What? Now, some of these took part in that effort at the school and help break into the room and stop the shooting. Some were involved in other aspects of it. Now, this was planned at a meeting at a location that can accommodate hundreds. More than 90% of the Border Patrol agents who were invited now being told time and space are limited you can't attend. Well, that's a lie. Why don't you come right out and say why you don't want your Border Patrol agents there? This administration has demonized Border Patrol agents from the beginning. And even when Trump was in office. So late Saturday evening, the Border Patrol was notified the president could only meet with 7 of the more than 80 agents who responded to that shooting. Only 7. We just don't have time and space. I just told you the facility where their meeting could hold 100 or more. But they want to claim it's just too crowded. And to help out, somebody in the Border Patrol sent out a message, or a source, I should say, telling one reporter, well, the agents are still traumatized by the incident. Well, that's true. But he also did add the venue is large, and they're not going to buy this excuse that it's just too limited in space. Of course, you could say, well, maybe they need to have them at the border to stop anybody from coming in. The Biden administration could have said that, but no, that would be a lie as well, because they've not tried to stop anybody from coming into this country. And when they talk about school security and safety of our children, they're ignoring the safety of children being brought across the border, possibly sold off to porn gangs and a life of sex trade. And they're ignoring the fact that as all these illegals come in, if they're not being vetted, we don't know who the hell we're letting into the country. I will take a break. We come back. Mark Warren with Strategios International. Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life. My guest, as I said a moment ago, has extreme abilities and skills in teaching and has with his group Strategios International, engaging 500 security professionals nationwide, base operations in Missouri and Texas. They recruit and train quality law enforcement and military veterans to help provide the highest levels of execution protection and training for everyone with schools, if they want to have armed teachers inside the schools, churches who often have members of the congregation armed, concealed, and, of course, other private security and extra security services. Mark, glad to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, Larry. It's always good to join you.
Well, let's begin first. And before we get into training and the need and the availability and how it should or should not be done, I'm sure you have some personal, deep emotional feelings and trauma yourself, and grief about what happened in Uvalde.
Larry, it's always very traumatic to read or hear about any of these incidents like this. They're always tragic with just the loss of one life. But when you look at the severity of the loss of life of such young kids, it just really affects us and impacts us differently. I was in Texas actually teaching and training an advanced guardian class. And, you know, seeing how it impacted the people in that class, that we were 3 hours from Uvalde and, you know, they're all teachers and administrators. And, you know, we literally discussed it. That was the start of our second day. We came in and literally talked and debriefed this incident and the little bits of things that we were getting then, lessons learned, what could we do differently. But more importantly, what I saw was the resolve in those members of that particular school district that have stepped up to take the responsibility to be guardians for their children, completely renewed. They had a passion again for why they were there, and they had a complete different understanding, which really drove us the remaining 2 days of our training
and assured them how valid that would be. Now, are you at liberty, and are they sharing with their student and personnel, I assume with parents and the school district, that they will have armed staff on scene?
Yes, they actually post their campus that they do have faculty armed. They're not afraid, really, for me to share the district. It's a very small rural district in Texas by the name of Edna,
okay.
Edna ISD.
Yep.
And they are very, very passionate about protecting their kids. And they decided that was the best responsibility that they could take on.
Texas is a big state. Would you explain to the audience where Edna is from Uvalde? Uvalde is, of course, closer to the border, about 50, 60 miles southwest of San Antonio,
it was almost,
about 80.
Correct. It was about 200 miles directly south of Uvalde.
Okay, so still closer to the border than Uvalde is, actually, right?
Yeah, closer to the coast, yes.
Okay, that's right. The coastline, not the Mexican border. So
correct.
Then, as you went through the training and so forth, I assume obviously they were already highly interested because these are teachers, administrators agreeing to be trained and step up and do this. Were most of them, or were any of them, prior police or military?
No.
Okay, so they're learning firsthand.
The interesting thing, Larry, correct. The interesting thing, so this was an advanced class. About half of this class had, this was their third year of having been through. So they actually have a basic guardian class that we do for them that's 5 days. And then they do an advanced class, typically yearly, that's 3 days, and we take them further and continue on with their training. You know, we hear a lot of the argument about, in fact, I got interviewed by a Fox 4 affiliate the day after Uvalde, and in the same interview with me, they interview teachers union president from the same area I'm from, actually working with a school district that we represent as well, and they're a very, very urban school district. And his words were, arming teachers has got to be the stupidest idea in the world.
I've heard that.
And that really offends me, because the reality is I always start with any client I'm working with, what are you willing to do to take care of your kids? That's the answer, because when you have one guy giving his opinion that thousands of people are listening to, and now he's a subject matter expert because he's being interviewed on TV, but he's got a teacher's background, not a security background, people listen to that. Well, it may be in your area, that's not where you're willing to go to protect your kids. But the clients that we work with, many of them have no other opportunity because the law enforcement response is going to be so minimal, or it's going to be so extended. It may be 15, 20, 30 minutes before they can get a police presence there. What are they going to do to take care of their kids? And if they're willing to step up, get the training they need, then that's the right decision for that community.
All right, let's break that.
And I always
tell
people.
Yeah, let's break that. I'm sorry, let me break that. Since you brought up the time needed, every report, I'm going to have it in the next hour, folks, for your listening, I'm going to have a timeline. It's been broken down by the Department of Public Safety, minute by minute, pretty much, of what happened. But basically, it comes down to 35, 40 minutes that lawmen were gathered in a hallway, and they were waiting to go in, and they were giving excuses. And when I say excuses, I'm saying their explanation that there was no more shooting, so they assumed everyone in there was dead. Well, we know that's not true because a couple of students were hiding under a table. One later told the story that he was interviewed about it. And the other thing is, students might have been shot, but maybe they weren't dead, but they were bleeding out. If you got them to EMT or hospital sooner, then you might have been able to save them. So just because there's no shooting, and of course the other one was, well, maybe he's waiting on us to come through and he wants to die by cop by suicide, which I'm all in favor of helping him do, by the way. But I don't want law enforcement or any of them injured. But does that make sense to you just from the distance of what you and I know, and we weren't there on the scene, don't know all the exact details, that you would wait outside? I thought we learned from Columbine in 99, when you got an active shooter, whether or not you think he stopped shooting, you go in.
Absolutely, Larry. I've been involved in training police officers since immediately after Columbine to respond to these types of incidents. Our company has been involved in that. We wrote the lesson plan for the former company that we worked for prior to starting Strategos in 2002. And once we started Strategos, we were doing instructor-level programs to train police officers to go back and train their officers how to respond to these things. I've been involved in the morphing of the tactics involved based on lessons learned. And then after Columbine, you're absolutely right. It was accepted then that was a watershed moment, that we could no longer wait on the outside and use time-talk tactics for a homicide in progress. This was not a hostage situation. And like you said, even though people have been shot during that golden hour, the sooner you're able to get in and rescue that victim or potential victim and give them and render aid, you have a better likelihood of saving that life.
There
and
is
we've
a,
seen that over and over again.
There is obviously many, the Uvalde police officers who were there, they live in that community. It's a small community. The police chief lives there. Some of the Border Patrol agents live there. In other words, they all know, and some of them are probably carrying guilt and grief themselves and being persecuted possibly. But the bottom line was that the one on command, apparently at the point, was the Uvalde police chief. And I'm not trying to lay blame on him. I'm just saying the indecisiveness and the wrong decision, which the Department of Public Safety admits it was the wrong decision in hindsight. I don't understand hindsight that you can't go back to 99. That's when your hindsight should have started, that you go in. I do fault the Uvalde police chief for holding, apparently even Border Patrol agents, not letting them go in until he said go. I don't understand that. Can you give me any kind of reasoning for that?
Larry, I can't. I'm still scratching my head to this day, and I'm still trying to understand, because everything that I have seen tells me and screams to me this should have been an immediate response. I realize he may have shot at you. That doesn't change anything. When you say, I don't want police officers killed, but the reality is we took an oath to protect other people. We have a priority list that says victim, citizen, officer, and suspect. And if you had only a suspect in that room and that's it, completely different story. But as soon as you get one 911 call out of that room that you know you still have people alive.
Yes, and there were several calls.
It's no longer.
There were several calls from students calling all during that time. Very quickly in our closing time here. What about an armed teacher that's properly trained and everything, and they're trying to deal with someone, and then police arrive on the scene, and they see somebody with a gun? Well, what's to make them?
Go ahead. That is one of the things I have to work with our clients that are armed. You know, they see themselves as the hero. If they shoot the suspect, put him down, it's not over with yet. And I really try to make them realize that by understanding, okay, you've shot the suspect. Who's still coming? The police are still coming. What do they see? You standing over a bloody body with a gun. So they have to make some serious assumptions in a split second.
Well, what if shooting's still underway when police arrive? They don't know who's good, who's bad.
Correct.
Is there any way to
identify
quickly in the last 20 seconds?
There are things that we do to try to help them understand what they can do to make themselves known. First and foremost, if I can move and not be in direct line of sight of where they may be coming from,
okay.
Don't turn rapidly.
Certainly don't aim your
slowly,
weapon that direction.
Acknowledge.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mark, we're out of time, but I want to thank you very much. You took time out of a road trip talking to us. Mark Warren, Strategist International. Thank you very much, sir. Coming up, we're going back to Vegas and that shooting. The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you. So, again, we're reminding you that today we're dedicating today's program on behalf of those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country, men and women who went off to war and did not return except in a flag-draped coffin. And, of course, there are those still missing. Memorial Day, that's what it's all about. Not for all veterans, not for all military, but those who are the real heroes, the ones who didn't come back. But we're also having, again, to focus more attention on Uvalde because of continuing developments, and a part of it has to do with gun control, obviously. Then you get into the question of, well, what kind of gun control would be effective? Well, what do we need to do? Congressman Adam Kinzinger, Republican of Illinois, was on ABC this weekend. Now, I'm going to have more on him in the next hour because he's talking about that one of the things that may be a talking point would be raising the age of a weapon, the person buying the weapon, to age 21. As the law is now, depending upon the state, it may vary, but generally, 18 years of age, you can buy what they call now a long rifle, which I've never heard. It's a rifle, but I guess they're also comparing it to AR-15, even though one's really a long rifle and one's a short rifle. It's still the same thing, but versus a handgun and shotgun. But you have to be 21 years of age on a handgun. So that means all the gangsters out there, that are under 21, they're already in federal violation. They're in law. They're violating the law. So gun laws aren't going to change their behavior. That's not going to change them one bit. But another thing I want you to hear from Kinzinger, one of the things that came up in his interview that he was doing with ABC, and that's what happened at Vegas. Do you remember the Vegas shooting? That was in December 2017. A man goes up in the Mandalay Hotel, opens fire on a country music concert underway, 61 killed. He's got a high position, firing at will, and he can aim at one person and somebody moves in their way before the bullet gets there, or he shoots anywhere. I mean, literally, as sick as it might sound, shooting ducks in a bathtub. I mean, he couldn't miss hitting someone. 61 killed, 300 plus injured. Adam Kinzinger, in the interview this weekend, talked about that particular shooting and a particular issue. Please listen.
I woke up the morning after Vegas, the Vegas shooting. I had shot a bump stock before. I heard the audio from that shooting. I knew that was a bump stock, and I called for banning bump stocks, which, by the way, was ultimately done. And because of that, the NRA basically said Kinzinger's a rhino or whatever their language was. And I realized, especially then, the only thing the NRA cares about is raising money on your back. They don't really give a lot of money to people. They can get people upset. And they're competing with another group called Gun Owners of America. You think the NRA is crazy? Look at the Gun Owners of America. These are the ones that believe there should be zero restrictions on owning guns. And now NRA has to compete with this group for crazy because that's where they get their money from. The NRA has become, it's gone from defending rights of gun owners, it has become a grifting scam. And all you have to do is look at the last few years of the grifting scam of the NRA to know that that's true.
All right, you may or may not agree with what he had to say, but let's begin with the bump stock issue first. Yes, that gunman was using what was called a bump stock, which modifies a rifle where it automatically resets a trigger quicker than normal. It's still not an automatic, but it comes closer to it. Automatic, you're going to hold the trigger down and it's going to shoot until it's empty. A bump stock is going to reinforce the shooting quicker, but beyond that. Now, he also talked about the NRA. I know many of you are NRA members. I'm not. I'm not because of what's happened now or even in the past. I just never have joined. There were times I thought about doing it, never did. He also mentioned the Gun Owners of America. Now, Gun Owners of America is a different group than NRA, and yes, they're both fighting for the same dollar. Ron Paul calls the Gun Owners of America the only non-compromised gun lobby in Washington. That's the way they bill themselves, that they basically say that they are open to all gun laws. Now, they bill themselves as the only no-compromise gun lobby in America. Senator Ted Cruz is one of those that has made some comments on this group as well. I don't have time to get into all of it right now, but there is a difference between that and the NRA. We have to keep in mind we're talking about trying to be sensible gun control. We can't have leftists who don't want any guns or even the Second Amendment. We can't have that. But I'm not going to stand for and accept no laws whatsoever on guns. No, you can't do that. I mean, then why can't a 10-year-old go buy a gun? Where are you going to put the stop on it? Age does not necessarily make you smart, but it seems to be a better idea than no gun law. We've got more to cover on this and more comments on the NRA next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.